Welcome to the Jacob's Well podcast. These messages are intended to feed you some great stuff that you can really dig your teeth into all week and beyond. That's why you can find it anytime, along with other great resources and ways to keep the conversation going at jacobs-well.net/leftovers. Enjoy the message.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Yeah, thank you. It's great to be here. I'm Greg Meyer, and it truly is, like Melissa said, just an honor to be here with you folks today. I hope you enjoy. I hope you really get something out of your experience with us today. And I have to say, like I would hope is true at every time we gather, that what happens here is for you. No matter who you are, no matter where you come from, no matter whether you think you fit into this crowd or not, because we're a kind of crowd that doesn't necessarily fit in anywhere. I mean, so whether for you Christmas is like, you know, that great day that's sort of a basic point of your faith and you would never consider missing it, or if you think Christmas is a lot of fun, but in terms of it being true, well, it's really no more than Frosty the Snowman, or, you know, if whether you think the spiritual side of Christmas is good or not, you think the whole thing has kind of gone the way of American consumerism and you just like the whole thing to be over with, doesn't matter, okay? Because it isn't about like what we bring to it. There is something here for us that is just important. And, you know, I think we just have to admit that Christmas is this enormous jumble of all the beautiful, the wonderful, and the, you know, generous stuff. It's also got all of the loneliness. It's got the overindulgence. It's got some of the too nostalgic and too self-indulgent side and superficial side to it as well. But despite all of that, that Christmas is and maybe shouldn't be, I think it is a time when we have a tendency to look up and take a few moments and look up into that starry sky and into the eyes of the people around us, and we think a little bit about what matters most. And maybe we at least have a tendency to want to spend time with the people that matters most, and that's worth celebrating. Christmas is not perfect, okay? Just like you and me. We're not perfect, but that's okay, all right? Because like I was saying, we've worked pretty hard as a community to make sure that Jacob's Well is a perfection-free zone. We aren't perfect at that. But seriously, while what we've learned as a community and what we're really passionate about is the value of what doesn't work, the value of what's wrong. In fact, we kind of have a saying or a mantra that pops up a lot among us, and it's this. It says that your greatest ministry is not going to come from your greatest strength, which is probably what you would expect. It's rather, it's going to come from your deepest hurt. Or maybe you could say from what's wrong in your life. You know, your greatest gift that you have to give to this world doesn't come from what you've mastered, from your skills, from all the expertise that you happen to have. Your greatest gift comes from that place where you have had to been the most vulnerable, where you have been knocked down, where you've been dragged through those deepest and those hardest parts of life. And my guess is that while you maybe never thought about that before, there's something inside you that says, yeah, I know that that's true. I know that that's true. And so that's kind of really important for us. That's why we have a problem with being perfect, okay? Because being perfect is like nothing ever going wrong. And if nothing ever goes wrong, how are you ever going to learn anything? I'm a big risk taker. I like to do new things. I like to start things. And that means I make a lot of mistakes. And I learn more from my mistakes. I like my successes. I mean, who doesn't like their successes more, right? But I don't learn as much from them. Sometimes I don't even know that there was a success. It just happened. And I certainly don't know why it worked, because it just worked. I don't have to think about it. But when things go wrong, when I really mess up, it has a way of getting my attention. Should we just say that? And if I'm brave enough to really look inside of it and see the how and the why of what wasn't working, I have the chance of learning and growing. And that's messy, and it's not always so much fun, but it does look a lot like life. And it does not look a lot like being perfect. Christmas is that time of year that pulls together all of the sparkly, the warm, the wonderful, the cozy bits and pieces of this idealized season. All that stuff that we're expecting and we're looking for. And then it asks us, is that it? Is that all? And if we're quiet enough, if we're patient, and we listen, sometimes we begin to discover what it was that we never even knew we were looking for. And that is the very best part of Christmas. So I invite you, with those words, to enjoy our adaptation of Chloe Bonfield's The Perfect Tree.
We've all been there in that place where you feel the need to search for what we imagine. The problem is that no matter how hard we search or strive or force, it's difficult to get our imaginings and what we find to match. The funny thing about that searching is that we sometimes end up getting just what we needed in the first place. And that is the case for the hero of our story today, a boy named Jack and his search for something quite perfect. Once, a boy named Jack went on a journey to find the perfect tree. Not to climb, not to draw, and definitely not to hug. No, Jack wanted a perfect tree. A perfect tree to chop, a perfect tree to lop, and a perfect tree to place a star on top.
Tree.
So Jack set out on an adventure into the forest to find the perfect tree. The trees he saw were too wide and too spooky, too silly, and, well, too familiar. Jack reached a hill and climbed to the top. No perfect trees were there, and he climbed down the other side. Nothing. The perfect tree is really quite hard to find. Jack wandered into a dark corner of the forest, and his heart began to sink. And then he heard tap, 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 tap. "I have been watching you," said Woodpecker. "You have?" said Jack. "Why, yes, you seem to be in search of something very important." "I am," said Jack. "I'm searching for the perfect tree. A perfect tree to chop, a perfect tree to lop, and a perfect tree to place a star on top." "Is that so?" said Woodpecker. "Come with me, and I'll show you the perfect tree." And fast as an arrow, the woodpecker flew through the leaves. "Here we are," said Woodpecker. "Just you wait and see what happens next." Jack's heart soared as birds and feathers filled the air. They tickled his face and they tangled in his hair. Jack was amazed. He had never smiled so hard or laughed so easily. It seemed in this case that the trees had given the birds a perfect playground. The trees were the perfect place for the birds to swish and dart, playfully enjoying each other and the amazing menagerie that the trees created. "Who knew that trees could make me laugh so hard and be such fun?" said Jack. Twitch, twitch, twitch. Twitch, twitch, twitch. Jack paused and listened carefully. Twitch, 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 twitch. "Who's there?" said Jack.
Twitch, twitch. I saw you coming down the path, said Squirrel. What are you doing in the forest? I am searching for the perfect tree. A perfect tree to chop, a perfect tree to lop, a perfect tree to place a star on top. Is that so? Said Squirrel. I will show you something that's a sight to see. Come with me and I'll show you the perfect tree. Swift as a gymnast, the squirrel flipped through the trees and landed in front of a great big oak. Follow me, said Squirrel. And Jack couldn't believe what he saw inside the oak tree. There were enough acorns and berries to last all winter, maybe more. Jack found a stump just made for sitting and began snacking on the red juicy berries and nuts. Why, these are the juiciest berries I have ever had. And the nuts, they were just the thing. I was beginning to feel quite hungry. Who knew that trees could fill my belly as well? Jack had just popped the last of his berries in his mouth and was thinking about the woodpecker and the squirrel's trees when something scurried, click, click, under the branch, almost crawling right over his toes. Click, click, click. Outside, a soft shadow with 8 long legs scurried along. Don't be afraid of little old me. Have you seen my perfect tree? Said Spider. And Jack took the end of the spider's web, and they glided among the trees. High up in a spindly tree hung a magnificent web, with sparkles of dew hanging from every strand. Jack could hardly breathe. I've never seen anything so beautiful. It's like there are diamonds and jewels hanging from every branch. Isn't it amazing? Said Spider. I never get tired of these creations, and every one of them is different. And all of a sudden, a storm began to come. And the wind began to blow. You had better run for cover, said Spider. And as Jack ran, he looked for the perfect shelter to keep him warm and dry. And what did he see? Well, Jack could finally see that this was the perfect tree. And he climbed under the branches and saw that his new friends had also found shelter under the tree. Hello, said Jack. I've been thinking about all the trees I saw today. They're all so special. And what have you discovered? Did you find the perfect tree? Asked his friends. And Jack looked at the woodpecker and the squirrel and the spider, and he remembered all the trees he saw that day. They were all so perfect. Perfect for fun, said woodpecker. Perfect to provide, said squirrel. And perfect to behold, said Spider. And a perfect spot to escape the storm, thought Jack. So Jack put down his axe, for he needed it no more. And then Jack said goodbye to his friends and made his way home. Jack continued to go on adventures in the woods to find the perfect tree. No, not a tree to chop or lop or top. A perfect tree to climb. A perfect tree to draw, and most of all, a perfect tree to love.
Tree, tree, perfect as can be. Tree, tree.
You know, 2,000 years ago, a baby was born. Now, there's nothing particularly amazing about that. Thousands are born every day. But that was a special child and grew up to be a special man. And unfortunately, one of the problems with that is a lot of the specialness of that child, of that man, is that is all connected with that person being perfect. The Jesus, the perfect human being. What does that even mean, perfect? We got a taste here of Jack and his experiences of with the birds and the squirrels and the spiders in the storm of what perfect might mean when it's a tree, not quite what he expected. But what is it about in a person? I mean, like with Jesus when he's a baby, is it like in a way in the manger, the little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes, he never messed his diapers, he never threw a tantrum before bedtime, never disobeyed his parents? What about as a man? Like, did he never lose his temper? Did he never say the wrong thing? Did he never hurt someone's feelings unintentionally? Did he, you know, never forget to take the garbage out, never argued, never quarreled, you know, never was angry at something like that? I mean, there are a lot of nevers to never do if you're going to be perfect. And that's just the nevers. You can't forget there are the alwayses too, all right? Like, did he always do the right thing? Did he always wash his hands before he ate? Did he always help with the chores? Did he always do his homework? Did he always get the answers right? Did he always exercise, brush his teeth, take out the garbage, you know? Did he always get affect and effect and lay and lie right when he talked? Okay, I know I didn't speak English, but Aramaic has to have the same thing somewhere, right? I mean, if being perfect means always doing the right thing and never doing the wrong thing perfectly, and if what I said, you know, before the play is true, that you learn the most and you grow the most from what you do wrong, not what you do right, then where does perfect even fit in? So this is kind of a long way for me to say that the word and the idea perfect aren't particularly helpful. In fact, they really get in the way. I mean, they're a lousy way to measure Jesus, or a lousy way to measure Christmas, or a lousy way to measure trees, a lousy way to measure you, a lousy way to measure me. I think we can do a lot better than that. So Jack had his aha experience when he realized that the way to see what was so wonderful about the trees wasn't in that word perfect at all, but it was in something else. So the operative term was that they were beautiful, or they were fun, or they provided what he needed, or they gave him the warmth and the dryness that he needed at that time. This is the irony. Perfect isn't perfect, all right? And in fact, there is something better than perfect. There's this ancient wisdom story in China about a woman who was the laundress for a wealthy merchant who had his shop up on a mountain, okay? And so every day she would have to go down to the bottom of the mountain and get water to do the laundry. And so she was young, and she made these two beautiful clay pots. She fashioned them carefully. They had beautiful designs. She decorated them beautifully. She put them on either end of a large pole that she would put over her shoulders, and every day she would carry them down to the mountain, fill them up with water to the brim, and carry them back up so she could do her laundry. Well, as the decades went on, and she got older, so did the pots. And as happens, the clay pots, one of them started developing a little crack up at the lip of the pot. And that pot was kind of concerned about it because they were really proud of how beautiful they were and how well they did their job for this woman every day so she could be the laundress for this merchant. And this one pot was a little worried because it got a little crack and was afraid the woman would see it and say, oh, the pot's getting old, I better get a new one, get rid of that one. Didn't want that to happen. But the woman didn't seem to notice. So down the mountain and back up the mountain year after year, it kept going. But gradually that crack started going further and further, spreading down further into the pot until actually going up the hill, sometimes some of the water was leaking out and the pot wasn't as full as the other one when it got to the top. Started making that pot worry more and more about what was going to happen. But the woman seemed to pay no attention, and gradually over the years the crack grew and grew and grew to when by the time the pots got to the top of the mountain, the one was brimming full and the other one was only about half full. And the pot was really pretty worried, but the woman didn't seem to notice. And she seemed to have enough water to do her laundry, so just kind of hung on. But then one day, she went down to the bottom of the mountain and filled them up at the stream and was walking up the mountain. And partway up the mountain, the crack all of a sudden opened up more and stretched closer to the bottom of the pot. And the pot was worried. Says, I don't know if there's going to hardly be any water at all by the time we get to the top of the mountain. And the pot was so worried that it called out to the woman and said, I'm sorry. The woman turned and looked. And no one was there. And the pot says, it's me, your pot. I'm sorry. I'm failing you. I'm leaking. And the woman just laughed. Says, of course. And the pastor said, well, don't you understand? I mean, my job is to bring water for you, to be this beautiful pot that brings water for you, to do your laundry every day. And I don't know if I can do it anymore. And the woman said, yeah, I know. She says, look down at the path on the other side of me, underneath the pot that's brimming full and has no crack. And the pot looked and says, what do you see? He says, well, nothing. It's just stones and the path. That's all. And the woman said, well, look at the side of the path that you're on when you go up the mountain every day. And the pot looked, and there were chrysanthemums and dahlias and asters and all kinds of flowers blooming all the way up and down the mountain along that side of the path. And the woman said, I've known you've been leaking for decades. And so I took seeds and I planted them along the way so that your dripping water would water the flowers and make my path more beautiful. It's time to stop expecting people and things to be perfect. If you want to have a more satisfying Christmas, maybe stop expecting so much from it. Maybe it's time to check your expectations and your assumptions and just open yourself to be prepared to be surprised by what is there nonetheless. Do you want to give a really great gift to someone you love? Quit expecting them to be perfect. You say, well, I don't expect the people around me to be perfect. Yeah, you do. Instead, take all that energy and focus it on generously accepting them for who they are. It could be the beginning of something wonderful. It's also time to quit expecting yourself to be perfect. There is a writer whom I like named Rob Jollis who said something that I think is wonderful. He said, trying to be perfect is not a crime, but it is a really big mistake. There is no evidence that trying to be perfect will ever make anyone more perfect. There is a lot of evidence that trying to be perfect will mess you up, particularly by making you miss the value that you have as a person whom you are right now. And that's really too bad. So you might be thinking, well, yeah, but I'm not really after perfection, but a little improvement would kind of be nice. I mean, Greg, you don't know. You just don't understand what I'm dealing with. You don't know, like, how big of a mess my life is, or you don't know what I have to put up with day in and day out. And I just have to say to you, you're right, I don't know. I don't know. But you know what I also have to tell you? I don't have to know. Because it isn't about how close to or how far off the mark that you are in life, all right? And Christmas isn't about how good or bad you are. You know, this whole thing about Santa's naughty and nice list, I mean, that's got to go, folks. That is not the true meaning of Christmas. That's not the spirit of Christmas. No, Christmas is about being present with what is right here, right now. That's kind of a new and, I hope, refreshing message in this world that has the counterpoint message of new and improved and what have you done for me lately. So that's kind of an idea I would like you to hold on to. See, perfection is telling us, and it's always focused on what we aren't. Christmas is focused on who you are. I want to just park on that thought for a moment. You know, Christmas is not about who you aren't or what the world is not. Christmas is not about God coming into our world in order to fix us or fix it. Christmas is about God saying, I want to be here with you right now, the person you are, the way you are, because that's worthwhile. So that's why we gather as Jacob's Well, Christmas or any other time. We gather because we can help each other be the kind of people who take life for what it is. Not perfect by any means, kind of messy. And at the same time, we can help each other be the kind of people who reach for something that is greater, with a vision that's as great as that starry sky up above us and as full of hope and promise as a baby in a manger. So, in order to kind of feel that, just take a moment now. Get comfortable in your chairs, all right? If you've got a squirmy kid with you, settle them in your lap, hold them a little tighter maybe or a little bit looser. Close your eyes if that feels comfortable. Settle in, shake out your shoulders and your neck. Realize you're here. Take a breath. in with that breath of all that stuff, all the wonder, all the excitement, the presents are going to open, the stockings, and also all the worries and expectations, the stress, the relatives, all that busyness that's around you right now at this time and all the rest of your life, and then breathe it out. Just let it go. Let it go. I know it's out there for you to face it, but you can do that. Take that breath and let it go. It's Christmas for all that entails. And all of that busyness, all of those things that are wonderful and worried, let them melt away. And just hear this one message. You are loved. That isn't something that's just said to a crowd in a room here. I'm saying it to you. You individually can hear that word. You are loved. Not except for, not under certain conditions, no, just plain. You are loved. Breathe that in and breathe it out. And know that it's true for all the rest of the people in the room, all the people in the world. Yes, even that person that you're thinking of right now is true for all of us. And in that love is the real miracle that makes this such a holy night.
Thanks for listening. If you found this podcast valuable, please pass it along to others. And we'd love to hear from you too. You can email us at info@jacobs-well.net or message Jacobs Well Minneapolis on Facebook. We see what we do as a community really making a difference for people. Since you're listening, you probably have too. If you'd like to make a donation to support this work, you can find ways at jacobs-well.net/give. Thanks. Listen again next week or join us in person Sunday mornings at 10:30.